We'll call the conference committee for the House Senate Joint Transportation Committee to order. And the business before us is to adopt an amendment that has all the open items that have been agreed to. Before we do that, though, members and folks in the audience, we're going to have Ms. Zewers from the House staff go through the bulleted points on the things that will be in the conference committee report, which will be posted online probably tomorrow morning. So I asked Ms. Zewers to do that first and then go walk through the spreadsheet with us, if you would, Ms. Zewers.
Mr. Chair and members, I will be going through the
that spreadsheet?
The spreadsheet that was handed out.
Okay. I see. It looks like the audience has them as well. Ms. Zewers, go ahead.
The first change item you'll see on line 9 is an increase for grants and navigational aids from the State Airports Fund at $1.8 million. The next change item is under the Greater Minnesota Transit. As you can see on line 23, there is a general fund reduction of $7.6 million for the biennium. And then there is the conference report takes the House position on the Council for Transportation Access. On line 35, the conference report is based on the House position, and it eliminates the commuter and passenger rail funding. On line 44 of the spreadsheet, under the freight budget activity, the conference report takes the Senate position with a reduction of $98,000 for the biennium. Moving on to the next page. Both the House and the Senate had, on line 65, funding for additional funding, which would be federal funds for state planning and research at $1.4 million for the biennium. And then the conference report includes $260,000 for the biennium for the DBE collaborative. On line 74, you'll see the federal funding changes for state road construction at $66 million per year. And then on line 75 is the Senate provision related to a transfer to the Trunk Highway Economic Development account. And the transfer would be for $20 million in the conference report versus the $100 million, which was included in the Senate's proposal. And I believe that is it for that page in terms of the change items. Both the House and the Senate had the same appropriations for those other items, and those are included in the bill. Moving on to agency services, you'll see the $130,000 for the biennium, which is the second part of the state planning and research funds, the federal funds, which occur under the agency services portion of MnDOT's budget. And that is on line 106. And that is it for the Department of Transportation. Moving on to the Metropolitan Council. On line 138, you'll see a reduction of $109.3 million for the 12-13 biennium. And then there is an adjustment for the 14-15 biennium to the projected TAILS target. And then you'll see the second half of the Council for Transportation Access funding on line 140, which I touched on earlier. And that is the total for the Metropolitan Council. As you can see, the funding for the Metropolitan Council for the 12-13 biennium is $20.5 million from the general fund. Moving on to the next page, on page 4, the Department of Public Safety, there, both the House and the Senate had the base appropriations for the Department of Public Safety, and those appropriations are also included in the proposed conference report. So there aren't any changes for the Department of Public Safety on page 4, and the same goes on page 5. So moving on to page 5, just a quick summary of the total funding. There is 60 on line 233. You'll see there is $62.2 million of general fund spending in the 12-13 biennium and $120.2 million for the 14-15 biennium. And moving on to the next page, page 6. Under the revenue changes section of the spreadsheet, the conference report takes the Senate position on line 281 related to transporting waterfront structures. This is not a new permit, but makes an existing permit an annual permit for waterfront structures. And the numbers listed here are additional revenues for the Trunk Highway Fund, so $5,000 of additional revenue in the 12-13 biennium and $6,000 in the 14-15 biennium. And the other revenue change in the conference report is on line 286. It is the $2 donation for the anatomical gifts. These are pass-through grants. And as you can see on line 286, this amounts to $366,000 in additional revenue for the 12-13 biennium and $488,000 for the 14-15 biennium. And then just one last piece on the very last page. Or I'm sorry, the second to the last page on page 7. The last line of the spreadsheet on line 312 shows the change from base, which is a $118 million reduction for the 12-13 biennium and a $60 million reduction for the 14-15 biennium.
Is there anything on page 8, Ms. Sewers?
Mr. Chair and members, no. The notes on page 7 and 8 at the bottom of page 7 and then on page 8 go through a few of the other fiscal provisions and other policy, including the livable communities and right-of-way acquisition loan fund levies, which the conference report has at 100% as a optional transfer for the Metropolitan Council, as well as a couple of other provisions related to that.
Thank you. Members, questions for Ms. Sewers on the presentation at all? Thank you. Ms. Sewers, is there another document that you wish to walk us through, or are we waiting for the revisor's office yet?
Mr. Chair and members,
bullet points.
Would you like me to walk through the
Please,
bullet point?
Would you?
Okay. The bullet point list outlines the changes in Articles 1, 2, and 3. The first set of changes under Article 1 I went through in the spreadsheet related to the $62.2 million in spending of general fund spending, which equates to a $118 million reduction in comparison to base. And those reductions occur in the Department of Transportation as well as the Metropolitan Council. As I said before, there was no general fund change for the Department of Public Safety. The other change items in Article 1 that I briefly touched on was the State Airports Fund increase of $1.8 million per year. The governor's recommendations for state road construction are included in the report. Those are recommendations related to trunk highway funds, and that does not include the Better Roads for a Better Minnesota program. Also, there's the $20 million transfer to the economic development count from the trunk highway fund. In Article 2, there are the optional transfers to the Metropolitan Council for transit operations. That includes the 100% of Libertyville Communities and Right-of-Way Acquisition Loan Fund levies that were included in the House proposal. The House proposal had it at 100%, and the Senate proposal had the Livable Communities Fund optional transfers at 50% and the Right-of-Way Acquisition Loan Fund levy optional transfer at 75%. And the conference report, as I said, is at 100% of both of those. There's also language related to the county's Transit Improvement Board funds, and that is just creates an option for the county's Transit Improvement Board to provide funding to the Metropolitan Council for transit operations. And then the last bullet is related to Met Council's operating levy. The bill allows the Metropolitan Council to spend a portion of its operating levy on transit operations. And then in Article 3, the policy in the bill, there is the creation of the Trunk Highway Economic Development Account. That is related to the $20 million appropriation that is in Article 1. The report also includes the fixed guideway investment reporting that was in both of the House and Senate proposals. There is also the language related to the annual permit for transporting waterfront structures, which was included in the revenue section of the spreadsheet that I mentioned earlier. Article 3 also includes policy related to expanding the eligibility for the Gold Star license plate, as well as including language related to driver's education and carbon monoxide poisoning, and including that in driver's education. And the last is language related to the anatomical gift donations and a $2 optional donation for anatomical gifts on a driver's license.
Ms. Sewers, thank you for the going over the bullet points of what's going to be in the amendment when it gets here. Members, questions for Ms. Sewers? At the moment, we're kind of biding our time. I thought we had the timing worked out here because the revisor's office was printing the language that we're going to be considering and adopting here in a few moments, and it's not here yet. So you'll just sit quietly for a few moments here while we have staff work on the procedure. That would be appreciated.
Thank you.
Members and ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to declare about a 5 or 10 minute recess here while we find out where the language is with the revisor's office. So we'll be in recess for about 10 minutes.
Let's just all proud. Yeah, okay. She's filling in for the
members, before I call us back out of recess, be looking at your draft report and formulating any questions if you have any. Call the committee back to order. I thought, folks, members, and members of the audience, I thought we had the timing worked out just perfectly. Apparently, I was about 7 minutes off. But Mr. Burris has brought the working draft of our conference committee report to us, members. We've had Ms. Zewers actually walk through the bullets on the items that are in the bill. You have, of course, an open item summary of all the things that we're about to agree to that we're either House or Senate positions that were put in the bill. Are there further questions of staff from the members? Okay. I know it's late, and I know that things have been a very fluid situation around here. We were supposed to meet here at 4 o'clock. Members of the audience, I apologize for the inconvenience. And as things have moved around, but as conference committees go, I'm just grateful we still got to meet on the same day. While staff and leadership have been working behind the scenes in the, of course, the global discussion about things, and we're one component of that. So the bill we have in front of us is the bill that I think is going to have to be what the committee is going to pass out this evening as our conference committee report that will be posted to the web. So, members, are there further questions, further comments? Seeing none, I'm going to ask Senator Gimsey to make a motion. Senator Gimsey?
Mr. Chair, I move that the conference committee adopt the conference committee report as the amended conference committee report, CCR HF1140.
That's the motion before us. Discussion to the motion, members. And this is not actually, I'm not actually fishing for comment, but does anybody in the audience feel absolutely compelled to testify for, against, or about the bill? Seeing no one rushing to the microphones, thank you. We will proceed to a vote. Members, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Members, we've adopted the working draft report of the conference committee report. The chair would like to direct staff, Mr. Burris and Ms. Beresovsky, if you would be in charge of taking care of what is it, technical corrections as you publish the report. Is that what we're going to ask you for? Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. And when you work with the revisor's office and with each other to compare the reports to what we've agreed upon, then you'll post this probably tomorrow sometime, do you think?
Mr. Chair, yes. The revisor's office will be informed of needing to have this conference committee report version posted in the AM tomorrow morning.
Okay, and that will be then posted for public consumption and comment, and members will be working with that, and of course leadership will be working with this report too as they work with the governor's office and others on the global agreement. Seeing no further questions or comments, the chair will declare the committee adjourned, and we'll be back here. The Senate will have the gavel the next time we get together for signatures or any other changes that have to be made. So we are adjourned.